We sat here and ate beef 3, 4, 5 days a week for, as far as I'm concerned, over a decade of contaminated beef. How much is in my system? How much is in my kid's system? Is it going to kill them in the, you know, before they get a life? It's hard to say.
There's something poisoning America's farms. A chemical that was built in a lab decades ago by companies who knew in private that it was highly toxic. Now that chemical is showing up almost everywhere.
It is a Pandora's box. It's going to blow up and people are going to find out it's in it and everything and it's in everyone, and there's nothing to clean it up and there's nothing to save you from it.
Toxic PFAS, also known as
forever chemicals.
PFAS are in so many consumer products. Nonstick pans.
Dental floss. Computer chips.
Shampoos and conditioners.
Whether it's gone down the river and contaminated fresh drinking water for people, or if it's on farmland and you're eating it, it's out there.
We have a mass poisoning of our population.
Forever chemicals are linked to a number of serious health issues.
How can a company knowingly have contaminated the groundwater?
So, how did we get here? How did our farms become toxic waste sites? How did the Teflon in your nonstick pan become a full-blown public health crisis? And why has it taken so long for the government to take action?
They knew about the problem for decades.
And now they've got a chemical that can't be destroyed, it can't be cleaned up. If we don't get some real response real soon, we're all gonna be in a real hell of a shit show mess.
Can you talk about how you guys name the cattle?
It's just it's a family thing. My kids name them, my wife names them, and it's just better than numbers.
Jason Grostick is a third-generation cattle farmer from Brighton, Michigan.
We started back in the early 1900s. Back then, it was a dairy farm. My dad took over things in the 70s. We lost him to a farming accident in 95. And then in 97, we decided to get out of the dairy and get into beef. There you go. Have fun. That business was booming. We were growing steadily every year. We had plans of our kids taking over and doing it. Three generations, could have been four. But as we look at it now, with PFAS shutting us down in 2022, there's no growth here. There's no more family farming.
A few years ago, Jason got a call that he wasn't expecting from the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development.
January 27th of 2022. Got on a Zoom meeting with four people I'd never seen in my life. The head of MDARD, he starts apologizing, all sympathetic and this, that, and the other thing. And I finally said, what the hell are you talking about? You don't know? And I says, no, what? And he says, well, we're serving you a seizure notice today. You're shut down. Nothing leaves the farm.
Without warning, the state of Michigan had shut down Jason's farm, declaring it contaminated and unusable. They cited high levels of so-called PFAS on the land.
This is the bucket of tags of all the animals we lost. Either they died because of it, or we dispatched them to save their own pain and misery. It's been tough on my wife and kids. I was just a miserable bastard for 2 years, and they got the brunt of that shit show. I mean, they took away my livelihood. They basically bankrupted me. They told me I'd be back in business in no time. Here I am, 3 years and a few months into it, and I don't have rights to farm. The government took all that away from me over something I didn't do. I didn't dump the chemical here.
Jason's farm was poisoned by PFAS chemicals that were buried within a type of fertilizer called biosolids. Every time you flush your toilet or do a load of laundry, that water goes to a wastewater treatment plant. And biosolids are the leftover byproduct of that process. For decades, the EPA has encouraged the use of biosolids as a cheap fertilizer.
I'm not the only one that took biosolids. The EPA said it's clean, state of Michigan said it was clean, and I'm on a small scale. Some of these farms are creating tens of thousands of gallons of milk a day. How many homeowners is that hitting?
It's estimated that as many as 20 million acres of farmland across the country could be contaminated with forever chemicals.
There's PFAS in West Virginia, New Mexico, Arizona, Wisconsin. I mean, it's showing its face everywhere.
So, how did this happen? How did forever chemicals end up in our waste? and who put the poison there in the first place.
There's something wrong with this cow. And they keep trying to tell me there's nothing wrong with these things. I can call the West Virginia State Veterinarian, Doc Thomas, and the only thing he asked me is, do you have a good attorney?
You know, and when Mr. Tennant first reached out to me and was concerned about his cattle, we thought, you know, this is going to be a fairly straightforward, quick, easy case. We had no idea that we would be dealing with PFAS or any of these completely unregulated man-made chemicals.
Rob Bellott started out as a corporate lawyer who specialized in defending large chemical companies from environmental lawsuits. But in 1998, he was approached by a farmer from Parkersburg, West Virginia, a man named Wilbur Tennant.
And this is what they expect a man's cows to drink on his own property.
Wilbur's cows had been acting deranged and dying off at an alarming rate.
There was a serious problem occurring on that property. There was something coming out of this landfill next to his property.
That landfill belonged to the largest employer in town, the chemical giant DuPont.
It took some battling in court to finally get DuPont ordered to start turning over their internal files. What I began to see there really kind of changed my entire perception of what I thought I knew about environmental law in the United States.
Those documents, 110,000 pages in total, contain private letters, health reports, and scientific studies. And Rob kept finding mention of one chemical in particular.
PFOA, perfluorooctanoic acid. We were dealing with a chemical that had been invented by the 3M company right around really the time of World War II. It was DuPont that was around the same time had invented its own new chemical called Teflon.
Food doesn't stick to Teflon like it does to other things.
Teflon was famous for its non-stick, waterproof properties. But to make Teflon at scale, DuPont needed the chemical that 3M was producing. So they started buying it in huge quantities, shipping it to what would become the largest Teflon plant in the world, right outside of Parkersburg.
They were concerned, though, by this unique chemical structure of PFOA, this 8 carbons attached to fluorine. The DuPont scientists realized that was a very strong chemical bond, something that probably wouldn't be able to be broken apart. The concern became at that point, well, what would happen to living things that might get exposed to this?
So by the early 60s, DuPont started running its own experiments on rats, rabbits, and eventually their own workers. And they kept finding a concerning pattern.
There was a wealth of information within both 3M and DuPont that this particular chemical was toxic, persistent, cancer-causing. Yet all of this information was essentially kept internal to the companies. And this information had been covered up. The public hadn't been told, the regulators hadn't been told, the scientific community hadn't been told.
Armed with all of this evidence, Rob was able to settle Wilbur Tennant's case in 2001. But by that point, he had already opened Pandora's box.
What we had seen in the internal DuPont documents was that the same chemical was also getting into the public drinking water of the entire surrounding community, about 70,000 people in that area. So we had filed a new lawsuit against DuPont, this time a class action on behalf of the entire community.
That lawsuit eventually yielded a settlement of $70 million. But DuPont still refused to acknowledge that their chemicals could have played any role in causing widespread health issues in Parkersburg. So the settlement was used to do something unique. The money went towards developing a massive health study conducted by an independent panel of scientists.
We got 69,000 people out of the 70,000 in that community who came forward and participated, probably some of the biggest human health studies ever done on any chemical. And by 2013, they had confirmed that drinking PFOA in the water was linked with 6 different diseases: kidney cancer, testicular cancer, ulcerative colitis, thyroid disease, preeclampsia, and high cholesterol.
Today, there are dozens of companies that produce these chemicals, with more than 10,000 varieties of PFAS on the market. They can be found in the tap water of nearly half the country, in sewage sludge that spread across our farms, and in the blood of more than 99% of Americans.
It's just, it's enough to make anybody want to throw their hands in the air and just walk away from it. You can't. You can't, because it has real life, tangible health consequences.
Cindy Boyle lives with her husband on the outskirts of Marinette, Wisconsin. For years, without knowing it, they were drinking water that had been poisoned.
Tyco Johnson Controls, they manufacture AFFF firefighting foam, not very far from our home, and they open ground tested this firefighting foam for decades. Looking back at that, you know, we just had a small family of four, and my mom had kidney cancer as a young woman. My sister has thyroid disease. I have a full thyroidectomy. My dad had a brain tumor. He's got, you know, prostate cancer, all kinds of health issues.
When she tested her blood, Cindy found that her PFAS levels were 5 times higher than the national average.
It really lit a fire under me that we unknowingly fed this to our children in their bottles. One night I was sitting in a parking lot on the phone with my sister. Sorry, it was very late. And I was venting to her, saying, what do I do? And she just called it like it was. And she said, you're either gonna fight this yourself with whoever will help, or you're gonna leave this for your kids to deal with. And it sounds so trite, but that was the truth. And I hung up, and that's been the path ever since. We've met with all kinds of different people on this, and my plea has been, please legislate this. Because once you legislate it, now you must test for it. In many cases, when you test, you find. When you find, you must report. When you report to people that they've been drinking poison, a lot of them react the same way we are. They don't like it.
In states across the country, activists like Cindy have successfully fought to hold corporations accountable and to protect their communities from forever chemicals. But that progress is only a patchwork. Many states have no guardrails at all. And even the states with stronger protections are still leaving people behind.
With biosolids being applied to the soil the way they were, how am I the only one in the state of Michigan that's not allowed to farm? I don't know if there's a governor or a president that technically cares about the public. And they sure as hell don't care about one farmer in the state of Michigan.
It raises an important question.
Why have we not made more progress than one would expect?
I think there are a lot of factors as to why so little progress has been made on this issue. One of them is that industry in this country is extremely powerful.
Kyla Bennett worked at the EPA for 10 years. Now she's helping farmers in Texas who are suing the EPA for failing to protect them from PFAS.
EPA was told by PFAS manufacturers in 1998 that there were probably dangers associated with these chemicals. And here we are decades later, and very little progress has been made on keeping people safe from these chemicals.
In the last 2 decades, hundreds of new PFAS compounds have been allowed to flood the market, and contamination from those chemicals has only continued to grow. Meanwhile, industry groups have spent tens of millions of dollars lobbying to block any PFAS legislation from making its way through Congress.
Industry lobbyists shape our laws. They have infiltrated Congress and our federal agencies like EPA.
But even with the outsized power of those corporate interests, progress was still possible.
Enough is enough. It's time that we prioritize the American people's health over profits of big polluters.
In April of 2024, Biden's EPA established the first ever federal limit on forever chemicals in drinking water. It was estimated that the new limits would reduce exposure for 100 million people nationwide.
And then, of course, there's the ever-changing political landscape, and that is more like this.
Under Trump, everything is up in the air.
The administrator, Lee Zeldin, when he was a representative, he seemed very concerned about PFAS.
When I was in the House, I was a member of the PFAS task force.
And in May, Lee Zeldin even released a PFAS action plan.
And if you read it quickly, it sounds like they want to take action. But if you read it carefully, you can see that they are actually going to be deregulating.
Later that month, the Trump administration announced they would be eliminating many of the Biden-era limits on PFAS in drinking water, citing the need for, quote, common sense flexibility. When you look at who's running the EPA, this approach starts to make a lot more sense.
Trump has appointed several people with a lot of industry experience and background into EPA.
So if you'd raise your right hand.
There's David Fatuhi, deputy administrator of the EPA, who once represented a company that had been accused of spreading 93,000 tons of PFAS-containing biosolids throughout Maine. Then there's Nancy Beck, who Trump nominated to be the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. She used to be a lobbyist for the American Chemistry Council, where she led the industry's charge against drinking water limits for PFAS. And then there's Lynn Deklova, who holds a senior role in the EPA. Before that, she worked for decades at none other than DuPont.
It's been really painful to see how decision-making can be influenced. There is a lot of profit around the use of these compounds. Consequently, there is a lot of effective interests. I keep coming back to the only solution, which is ultimately, really, you need to cut the head off the snake.
Industry is arguing that basically all of the uses are essential, that you need it in your waterproof mascara or in your baseball glove, that these things are so essential to the functioning of society that if we get rid of them, society is just going to fall apart. And that's bullshit.
It's just a vicious, vicious cycle that you'll never get ahead of as long as these compounds are being used and certainly put out into the environment.
We're talking about an issue that has continued for decades in this country. It has transcended political parties, administrations.
The federal government needs to have a comprehensive, single definition of PFAS. They need to regulate all of those PFAS as a class, and they need to ban all non-essential uses of PFAS. And unless and until that's done, we're not going to be able to get a handle on this.
It makes you feel less alone knowing there's other people out there. Does it make you feel better? Hell no. Because now you just know there's another person out there, the misery to live with that I've lived with. As the American people, we got to band together to get the PFAS cleaned up. It takes a lot of people to move the mountain. And PFAS is a mountain.
Hi, thanks for watching our video. If you want more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to get more Perfect Union in your feed. And if there's something you want us to investigate, drop it in the comments below.